Something from yesterday's class. Do you remember? What do you remember? Yes.
As expected by his father.
What do you think his father expected?
So he was teaching all his classmates.
No, that's later. That was in yesterday's class. You're getting into a Bhagavatam class of its own. Thank you. Anyone else remember something from yesterday's class? And Prabhupada's purport there is especially nice because he says, Vanam Guto Harim Asvieta. And which forest?
Vrindavan
forest. The best of forests. And there, what should you do? Take shelter of Hari. Harim Asvieta. Take shelter of Hari, of the Lord. And he will take away, because Hari means he will take away. So he'll take everything from you. Don't worry. You won't have to be worried about it. But if you have his shelter, then you have everything. Actually, everything. Everything that can't be taken away. Because to cut down a forest, an axe isn't sufficient. The metal axe head isn't sufficient. You need a handle, too, because you can't... You can't wield the axe unless there's a handle. So the handle comes from the wood of the forest, and especially the thorn tree. And you see these around, these bobble trees they're called locally, with the thorns. It's hardwood. So if you make the axe if you attach the axe to that handle, something from the forest itself, you can cut down the entirety of the forest. So they compared Prahlad to something born of the forest that was going to cut down the forest. Wait, but just remember something from the class, not everything from the class. You like to speak about Krishna, very good. So how much time did you spend on the Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu verse? Quite a bit?
Yeah.
Because this is what is called, this is practically the definition of bhakti, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. This is Navanga Bhakti, how bhakti is defined. This is what bhakti is, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. And Vishnu Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. These nine, Navalakshana, these are the nine symptoms or properties of bhakti. And engaging in these is bhakti. This is called Sarup Siddhi Bhakti, where Krishna is actually, the potency of Krishna is actually present in these things. So after Prahlad answers Hiranyakashipu, his father, his question was, what was the best thing you heard from your teachers? And this was his answer, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Vishnu Smaranam, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy names, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu. And remember that Vishnu is the one who Hiranyakashipu, who Prahlad's uncle had killed. So Hiranyakashipu had performed all those austerities and caused so much disturbance in the universe to kill Vishnu. And here Prahlad was saying, what I'm learning in school is to hear and chant and remember Vishnu with great devotion. Become his servant, considering Lord Vishnu one's best friend, surrendering everything unto him. And one who does this, who is fully involved, his consciousness is fully involved in these nine, he has acquired complete knowledge, he's the most learned person, and he's perfect. So this is how Prahlad answers, very innocent answer, because his father asked him, what's the best thing you've learned? So this is what the best thing he learned. So he just simply answered him. But Hiranyakashipu neither thought this was great wisdom, nor did he think it was a good joke. Rather, he became furious. He took it as a great threat. So in text 25, we hear, we'll begin. After hearing these words of devotional servant from the mouth of his son Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry. His lips trembling, he spoke as follows to Sanda, the son of his guru, Sukracharya. So the first thing generally one does when one's in a circumstance that makes one angry is one blames the person closest to them. And this one happened to have been Sanda and Amarka, the sons of the teachers. And naturally, the boy, what is the best thing you've learned? I've learned about devotional service. The teachers were right there. So obviously, they are the ones teaching Prahlad about devotional service. So he said, Hiranyakashipu said to Sanda, "O unqualified, most heinous son of a Brahmana, you have disobeyed my order and taken shelter of the party of my enemies. You have taught this poor boy about devotional service. What is this nonsense? In due course of time," now he's comparing Sanda to what he's going to say here, "various types of diseases are manifest in those who are sinful. Similarly, in this world, there are many deceptive friends in false garbs. They come in the dress of friends, but they are not actually friends. And because of their false behavior, their actual enmity in time becomes manifest." So you are just like that. "I thought you could be relied on to teach this boy properly, and look what you have done. In the guise of a friend, my enemy has appeared in the form of this boy's teacher." And Sanda, who was innocent of actually teaching Prahlad something worthwhile, he said, "O enemy of Indra, O king, whatever your son Prahlad has said was not taught to him by me or anyone else. His spontaneous devotional service has naturally developed in him. Therefore, please give up your anger and do not unnecessarily accuse us. It is not good to insult a Brahmin in this way." So he rightfully said, "We did not do it. We did not teach him this. Don't insult us like this. Why are you assuming we did it?" Somehow or another, this boy spontaneously has an attraction to devotional service. It is not us who gave it to him. It is just there. So Narada Muni continued, this is text 29. "When Hiranyakashipu received this reply from the teacher, that we did not do it, he again addressed his son Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu said, before he was angry at the teachers, because it was their fault, but now it wasn't the teacher's fault, and all his anger is going to fall upon whom? Prahlad. He's not an innocent victim, but he's spontaneously attracted to the killer of Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu's dear beloved brother. So he again addressed his son Prahlad, saying, you rascal, most fallen of our family, if you have not received this education from your teachers, where have you gotten it?" Now, next verses here, 30, 31, and 32, are quite special. I'm going to play a recording of Srila Prabhupada singing these verses. He sang these, or at least it's not clear to me whether he sang it or he played a tape of it. Sounds almost like a tape of it, but it says he played this or he sang them when John Lennon and George Harrison and family came to see him in Tittenhurst in 1969, and it's very, very, very sweet. and very, very feeling. So please listen to Prabhupada and you can follow along.
Matim na krishne parato sato va mitho vipate tagriha pratanam Matim na krishne parato sato va mitho vipate tagriha pratanam Adanta gobhi visatam tamesam puna puna char vita char bananam Adanta gobhi visatam tamesam puna puna char vita char bananam Nate vidu sarthagatim vishnu durasayaji bhajirathamanina andhajathandai rupani yamana te pi satantra urdhamni bandhya Nai shanmati stavadukramanghim Prishatanathopa gamojadatha Nai shanmati stavadukramanghim Prishatanathopa Gamo jadartha Mahi asang pado rajo visekam Mahi asang pado rajo visekam Niskin chanana navni kaja Niskin chanana navrita jaga Nati vidu sarthagatim imisa Durasaya jivahirarthamanina Andharathandhai rupaniyamana Tepe satantra urdhani bhagya Nate vidu sarthagatim
No, I think it was... No. I think it was... It was... Prabhupada was just talking about there was many... Many wonderful songs in the Vedas, in the Samaveda, and he was encouraging them to sing these very purifying songs. And here's some examples. It sounded like that. And I always thought it was interesting that these are the songs that he chose to tell them. But so why don't we go over them one by one? How feelingly Prabhupada did sing them. These mantras, these slokas. So Hiranyakashipu, what did he ask? He asked Prahlad, where have you gotten this information from? You couldn't receive it from your teachers. Where did you get it from? And Prahlad very mysteriously answers, Matirna Krishna Parataksvatova. So Matir means the inclination or the mind's inclination. Krishna, unto Krishna. Na, Matirna Krishna Parataksvatova. From your own, from the instructions of others, the mind's inclination to Krishna, because his Sandana Maki accused Prahlad of having a spontaneous inclination to Krishna, devotional service, Krishna's service. So that inclination to Krishna, it cannot come from the instructions of others, swata, from their own understanding, or mitta, the combined effort. From others, by your own understanding, or by yourself, and others combined together. Matirna Krishna Parataksvatova. Mito Abhipadyeta Grihavratanam. If one is too, has developed an addiction, Grihavrata. Vrata means vow, Griha means household life. So if one is vowed, more or less has the determination to make his life centered on enjoyment of his household paraphernalia, one cannot gain an attraction to Krishna. And what will happen to such a person? Because of andanta gobi, because of their uncontrolled senses, vishatam tamizram, they're entering hell, tamizram. Puna puna charvita charvanananam. They are chewing that which is already chewed. They are trying to get some flavor and taste from that which possesses no flavor and taste, which has already been enjoyed and rejected by others. And they're trying to get pleasure in that way. The result is, because of their uncontrolled senses, andanta gobir vishatata mizram, going to hell. And if a person has this kind of a vrata, to allow my senses, this is what Prahlad said, to allow one's senses to wildly attempt to enjoy in this world, to become satisfied and gain pleasure in this world, the result will be going to hell on one level, and on the other level, what he cannot get is matirna Krishna, an inclination or a deep inclination to serve Krishna. Matirna Krishna means to serve Krishna. So here is what Prahlad's reply, and Prabhupada in the last part of the purport will explain what he's telling Haranyakashipu directly or indirectly. Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress towards hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations towards Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both. Now we'll read from Prabhupada's purport about halfway through the first paragraph, approximately. So Prabhupada in the first part explains how that regardless of what people profess or explain their beliefs, people in general explain their beliefs to be, actually their only business is puna punas charvita charvanarvanam, chewing the chewed again and again. Do you see where I'm reading from? Yeah. The aim of such politicians and academic scholars is to enjoy this material world with their bodily senses. No matter what their philosophy is, this is the goal. This is true for most religionists even, unfortunately. So we'd have to say so-called religionists. Therefore, it is clearly stated here that those who are grihavrata, whose only aim is to live comfortably with the body in the material world, they cannot understand Krishna. The two expressions, Grihavratta and Charvita Charvananam, indicate that a materialistic person tries to enjoy sense gratification in different bodily forms, life after life, but is still unsatisfied. So we wander from one birth to the next throughout the universe, trying to satisfy the remaining desires that we have. And we and those desires situated in the subtle body, they carry us to a new gross body, adishtaya manishtayam vishaya upasevate. They carry us to a new gross body, and that new gross body becomes the vehicle for our plan for enjoyment. And then that body dies, and then our remaining desires carry us to a new gross body that becomes a vehicle for our remaining desires to enjoy. And then that body we try our best to enjoy, we still remain unsatisfied, and then the body dies, and within our subtle body there are remaining material desires, and that carries us to a new gross body. And just imagine how bored you would get if I said that for the next 2 weeks and I didn't say anything else. But that's what it's like, practically speaking. We go from one body to the next trying to satisfy our remaining material desires. And if it's boring to hear it, how frustrating it is to be doing it. And that, in fact, is what's going on. In reality, within the material, that is material life. And dante gobir visheta tamizram, until eventually one performs enough sinful activities and that carries them to tamizra, to hell. In the name of personalism, this ism or that ism, such persons always remain attached to the materialistic way of life. This is the goal. This is the goal. It is materialistic to enjoy. No matter what the ism is, it's the same ism, materialism, sense enjoymentism. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhogaishwarya Prashaktinam Taya Parita Chaistitam Vyavya Satmika Buddhi Samadona Vidyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the vyavya satmika buddhi, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Lord, does not take place. So that Bhagavad Gita verse directly describes what this verse in the Bhagavatam spoken by Prahlad Maharaj to his father Hiranyakashipu was saying. Bhogaishwarya. Trying to enjoy these things, it is not possible. And this is very hard to accept because we tend to want both. We want a blazing fire. I'm not saying everyone. But there's a tendency in a conditioned soul to want both. To want our devotional service to blaze, our attraction to Krishna to be deep, and at the same time, we are attached to enjoying the senses and material sense gratification. So the two are incompatible, just like light and darkness are incompatible. So this is the struggle that we tend to go through as we in our journey towards becoming actual devotees. We have to break this tendency by the higher taste, by purification, by obedience, by determination, by tolerance. And this is required so that we develop a matir, and the mental inclination, the mind becomes attracted to Krishna. It's necessary to you know that expression of your keep, say there's two rowboats or canoes or something, and you have 1 foot in one and you have 1 foot in the other. And what naturally happens? The boats go in opposite directions. And what naturally happens? You end up in the water. Neither in this boat nor in that boat, neither a spiritualist nor a materialist. And that can happen very easily unless we put all our weight, our life, into the spiritual side. So we may have some materialistic inclinations, but the cure for that, there's one verse in the 11th canto, I won't be able to remember it, that describes that, maybe 11, 20, 23, 24. Could you see if that's it? Yeah. One who is disgusted with the temporary illusory nature of this world
and is thus detached.
And is
thus detached.
Is that it? I think that's not the one I was. Yes, that's the one. Do you know the number of that one? Yeah. So, and there's a very nice comment by in the purport. It's basically there's one paragraph that's a paraphrase of the purport of the comment of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. What verse is it?
11:20, 27:28.
Okay, 11:20, 27:28. Could you read it, please?
Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories,
Having awakened faith in the narration of my glories,
being disgusted with all material activities,
being disgusted with all material activities,
knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment,
but still not being able to renounce all sense enjoyment. So one of our acharyas has commented in this regard that this does not mean the performance of sinful activities. But someone who knows the truth, but he's not fully able to follow on the level of his practice. He knows what's correct and what's not correct, what's fruitless and what's beneficial. Do we have the Bhagavatams around?
Yes.
Yeah, why don't you bring me this verse? And all? So such a person, he may not be able to live up to the philosophical conclusions that he's realized due to the fan of his material life, even though he's not supplying electricity to it. The fan of his material life is still going. It's still spinning to some degree. And he can't give up some sense gratification. So such a person, can you finish?
In conviction.
He should remain happy in this situation and worship me with great faith and conviction.
Even though he's sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment. My devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to miserable results.
Not sinful sense gratification. I can do anything.
And he sincerely repents such activities.
So a very relevant verse for we who are aspiring to be devotees. This isn't a topmost class devotee, but it's a very basic type of qualification. As Prabhupada explains in one of the purports in the Bhagavad Gita, he's not, even though he's not able to follow fully every bit of renunciation, he's not resentful or inimical or envious of the actual truth and the actual regulation, the actual standard. He just becomes humble.
This doesn't refer to accidental fall downs, this verse?
I'll read what Vishwanath says. This is the mentality. And if I remember correctly, this paragraph is more or less a paraphrasing of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's, of part of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. He thinks, by my previous shameful life, my heart is polluted with many illusory attachments. Personally, I have no power to stop them. Only Lord Krishna within my heart can remove such inauspicious contamination. But whether the Lord removes such attachments immediately or lets me go on being afflicted by them, I will never give up my devotional service to Him. Even if the Lord places millions of obstacles in my path, and even if because of my offenses I go to hell, I will never for a moment stop serving Lord Krishna. I'm not interested in mental speculation and fruitive activities, jnana and karma. Even if Lord Brahma personally comes before me offering such engagements, I will not be even slightly interested. Although I'm attached to material things, I can see very clearly that they lead to no good because they simply give me trouble and disturb my devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, I sincerely repent my foolish attachments to so many material things, and I am patiently awaiting Lord Krishna's mercy. So very, very balanced and kind verse and purport. Verse spoken by Krishna himself to Uddhava. So this is far different from what Prahlad is describing here. He's talking about griha vratanam, one who has made it his vow, practically speaking, to enjoy the material world. This is his determination. I want to enjoy, and the purpose of life is enjoyment, regardless of what the ism is that he's following. Altruistic as it may seem, religious as it may seem, his actual purpose is just to enjoy the material world. So those who are attached to material enjoyment cannot be fixed in devotional service to the Lord. They cannot understand Bhagavan, Krishna, or his instructions, Bhagavad Gita. Andanta gobir visheta tamizram. Their path actually leads towards hellish life because it's materialism. And then at the end of this purport, Prabhupada explains what Prahlad is saying in relationship to Hiranyakashipu's question to him. And the question was, where did you learn this? So Prahlad's answer by saying this is, my dear father, persons like you never understand Krishna. I'll read it just a little higher. Hiranyakashipu wanted to know where Prahlad had gotten this Krishna consciousness. Who had taught him? Prahlad sarcastically replied, my dear father, persons like you never understand Krishna. Don't worry about it. You won't have any problem. You can never understand him. You won't be infected with what I'm infected by. One can understand Krishna only by serving a Mahat, a great soul. Those who try to adjust material conditions are said to be chewing the chewed. And what's the example of chewing the chewed? Is the sugar cane. You chew the sugar cane and you spit it out. Or the contemporary example is bubble gum. You chew some gum and when there's no more sweetness, you stick it somewhere. And then someone says, oh, how wonderful, some bubble gum, and chews it. And what does he get? Nothing. Same thing with the rejected sugar cane, that it is spit out after the... We're just reading what Prabhupada's purport in answer to explaining the mood in which Prahlad Maharaj replied to Hiranyakashipu's question, where did you learn this knowledge from? My dear father, persons like you can never understand Krishna. One can understand Krishna only by serving a Mahat, a great soul. So this will come in not the next verse, but the verse following. No one has been able to adjust material conditions, but life after life, generation after generation, people try and repeatedly fail. Now please don't think Prabhupada is speaking to them out there, someone else. Please take this as Prabhupada telling us, don't try to adjust the material world to make it a pleasant place for you to stay. You cannot. And this Prahlad will say this to his school friends as well. That, and Narada Muni has said it too, tasyaiva hetu prayate te kovido, that we have a certain amount of happiness that is due to us and we have a certain amount of misery. Of course, act practically And you know, if a car is coming towards you, don't just say it must be my suffering. if it hits me, it's going to be my karma. So I might as well not move out of the way. No, be practical, but yet understand the reality of the situation is that we are not in control. That is reality. We are not in control of our happiness and distress. Unless one is properly trained by a mahat, a mahatma, an unalloyed devotee of the Lord, there is no possibility of one's understanding Krishna and his devotional service. So this is actually such a deep topic. You know, how to avoid this tendency and how to accept one's fate, which includes so much happiness and so much misery. And depending upon our individual karma, there's different mixtures of happiness and misery. We have, just as we all have our individual bodies, and if we look around the room, there are maybe 20-some-odd individual karma-holding vehicles before us. It's individual. We all have them, our mixtures of fate. And how, despite that, to develop the inclination to Krishna is what Prahlad is going to speak of. But he said, "Dear Father, you don't have to worry about this topic in one sense because you are an asura. You have made the vow and to the depth of your consciousness that you want to be in control. Being in control means for the purpose of enjoying." And what was the purpose of the powers that he requested Lord Brahma for? To control. And again, control means enjoyment. Without shakti, without power, we cannot control. And without control, we cannot enjoy. Because enjoyment means pulling closer the things that we want to, that we think will please us, and pushing away those things that thwart our plans for pleasure. We need power for that control, and we need control for enjoyment. So because you are Grihavrata, you have made this vow, you cannot understand. So there needs to be a shift in consciousness, he's telling his father. He's already told them, the best advice for you is just give up, just leave home and go to the forest. Go to Vrindavan and take shelter of Hari there. Tat sarum manye sudavarajadadayinam sarusamud vignadiyam asatgrahat. That would be the best thing for you. And now he's saying, you can't understand actually. And he's saying it in his very sweet and innocent way. One could say his innocence is foolishness, because his father is in fact a great demon. And we're going to hear in a moment how his father's reciprocation with this good advice is he's going to try and kill him. So here's part two of the first part was actually what is the best thing you have learned, the Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. And you can't understand, Father, because you have taken Grihavrata and you have Andanta Gobhir and you are heading towards Tamizram, hell, because of your desire to enjoy, and it is fruitless. Prahlad, even though he's young, is spiritually experienced and knows that it is fruitless to try to make a permanent settlement of enjoyment in this world, either a permanent settlement or a situation of enjoyment in this world. And now he continues the second verse in this section, this important group of two. And we heard Prabhupada sing it. Natevadu svadagatim hi vishnum durasaya ye bahiratmanina andaya tandar upaniyamanas te pi shatantram murudam nivanda. Because those kind of people who have taken that griha vrata. How do you, by the way, how do you feel when hearing these verses? What goes inside of you, on inside of you? Anyone want to volunteer? Yeah.
Lamentation.
Anyone else? How many of you feel embarrassed in directing it all towards you? Or how? I'll raise my hand for that one. And then there's the other kind of saying, yeah, he should tell that Hiranyakasipu all those commies and like that. Yeah. We should take these instructions very deeply so we can remove these tendencies very deeply so we don't end up traveling downward. And even Mahaprabhu used to hear the Prahlad Charita and Dhruva Charita, the pastimes of Prahlad and Dhruva, and he would cry and cry and cry because look at his innocence. Look at Prahlad's innocence. Maybe someone could do a little research on this, but on my preliminary examination, I find it so interesting that, like, even Dhruva, he was, when we see Dhruva, he has a materialistic tendency and he takes shelter of Krishna and he becomes perfected. And there are so many that we heard in the Bhagavatam that took shelter of Krishna. Even we hear about Narada and he takes shelter of Krishna and he becomes protected. But here, Prahlad, he's already on this spontaneous platform. So the first devotee, or this devotee, Prahlad, who's on the spontaneous platform of attraction to Krishna, he's just a child. He has that innocence. And look at his situation. He's fully dependent on his demoniac father. And yet he's in no anxiety. He's giving up his tendency to control his circumstance and just simply putting himself in the hands of Krishna. Very, very innocent. It even says that in the Bible. Yes, you have to become like a child to enter the kingdom of God. But this kind of a child, not a naughty, nonsensical child, but this kind of a child who places himself innocently in the hands of Krishna, or the child, as a child places himself innocently in the hands of his parents, he doesn't know. He has no choice practically. So in that sense, we should read the actual nature of the material world. We should understand it very deeply and watch the mind's tendency to, because the mind is so tricky, we should watch its tendency to try to manipulate the material world to make itself make the self appear very big and powerful and always right. And instead of always being right, we have seen already, and we'll read from that section a little bit later too, again, that instead of being always right, it's better to be always dependent on Krishna and accept one's fate as it is, and yet at the same time act practically. It's not an easy formula. So persons like you, my dear father, nate vidu, nate, they do not know vidu, sva artagatim, their ultimate gain or goal is Vishnu. He, Vishnu, is certainly Vishnu. Their actual goal is not sense enjoyment, but it's Vishnu. Durasaya ye bahirata manina. So they are ambitious to enjoy this material world, the external sense objects. They consider arta manina, instead of arta gatim hi Vishnu, the arti manina, their mind is considering these things of the material world as valuable, subtle and gross. And what are they compared to? Andar yatandar upaniyamanas, that they follow others, they are following the blind. Those who don't see what's going on. And sometimes you see this in India. You won't see this in the West so much. But there's a group of blind persons. And one's hand is on the shoulder of the one in front of him. Has anyone ever seen this? And his hand's on the shoulder of another one in front of him. And they're all blind, but the first one has to have vision, the one in the front, otherwise he's going to what? If he's also blind, if the one who's leading the others is also blind, then what's going to be the result? That's what this verse says. They continue again and again. They end up in a ditch, or in contemporary life, hit by a truck or something like that. The whole lot of them. Not knowing Nate Vadu Swatagatini Vishnu, what the real goal of life is. It is not economic development. It is not material security. The real goal of life is the abode of the Lord to please Him, devotional service. Swata, swa arta, one's own gain, his wealth. Gatim, he, Vishnu, is certainly the pleasure of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. So read Prabhupada's purport. Tepi, well, just read that last line though. The blind is like the blind leading the guide. Blind, api isha tantram, bound by the rope because the cords of material nature, the ropes of material nature are very strong. Here's Prabhupada's translation. Persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home, back to Godhead, and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. So this is a continuation of the last verse where Prahlad told you cannot understand because of your materialistic outlook. And you think, andante gobia, that this is proper. Whatever my senses want, I should fulfill their desire. As blind men guided by another blind man miss the right path and fall into a ditch, materially attached men, led by another materially attached man, are bound by the ropes of fruit of labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. So, andanta gobir vishatata mizram, following just the materialistic path. We'll read from the second half of Prabhupada's purport. Prahlad Maharaj did not recognize a seminal spiritual master. That means the spiritual master coming down in disciplic succession of the seminal succession, father, son, then his son, his son, his son. No, it is by a different process. Such spiritual masters are not at all interested in Vishnu. Indeed, they are hopeful of material success by her Artha Manina. So the accusation is that Haranyakashipu's was following the advice of Sukracharya, and Bali Maharaj was going to do the same thing, because Bali Maharaj had wanted to gain the kingdom of heaven, and Sukracharya was expert at manipulating the material energy, gaining piety. This is the subtle Vedic method of manipulating the material energy, very different from the contemporary materialistic method of manipulating the material energy by machines. But this is more subtle, so it's very different on one level, but it's exactly the same on another level, because the goal is to manipulate the material energy. So Haranyakashipu was following this type of guidance, as Bali Maharaj was following this type of guidance, and Prahlad would not accept that type of guidance because he knew that the ultimate end of all materialistic endeavors is failure. So Prahlad Maharaj did not recognize a seminal spiritual master. Such spiritual masters are not at all interested in Vishnu. Indeed, they are hopeful of material success. The word, so, and again, I probably mentioned this before, I end up saying it quite a lot, that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that if one accepts that there is no possibility of material success, there's no way, it is not possible for one to be happy in the material world. If one actually realizes that, he has taken the greatest step forward in spiritual life. So hopeful of material success. So this idealistic tendency to be hopeful for material success has to be removed from our heart, and instead our hopefulness should be to please Krishna regardless of what the external success is or isn't. Somehow or another, if Krishna is pleased, then we are successful. The word bahi means external, artha means interest, and manina means taking very seriously. Generally speaking, practically everyone is unaware of the spiritual world. The knowledge of the materialists is restricted within the 4 billion mile limit of this material world, which is in the dark portion of the creation. They do not know that beyond the material world is the spiritual world. Unless one is a devotee of the Lord, one cannot understand the existence of the spiritual world. Gurus, teachers, who are simply interested in this material world, are described in this verse as andha, blind. They do not know that the material world is resting on the spiritual world. Such blind men may lead other blind followers without true knowledge of material conditions, but they are not accepted by devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Such blind teachers, being interested in the external material world, are always bound by the strong ropes of material nature. So a very difficult thing is to be in this world, and all you have access to on one level by your own power is the material world, and then to get out. This is not an easy thing. So we, like the blind, are blind, but we have to be led by someone who can see. And that's the point of the next verse. So the next verse is Prahlad's cure for this blindness, being led by other blind people. Naishamatis tavada rukramangrim Spishad yanarta pagamo yarta mahi yasham pararajo bishehi kam niskin shananam navanityavad. So, unless, we'll just read Prabhupada's translation here, unless they smear upon their bodies. So how to get cured from the blindness? How to go in the right direction? How to not get caught in the ditch of material life and break the tendencies? Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, Niskinchana Vaishnava, completely free from material contamination, persons very much inclined towards materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be freed from material contamination. So two steps are mentioned here. One is attaining the lotus feet of the Lord, which a blind person cannot do. And the first step, the intermediary step, is how to get the vision and what is the process of attaining that because he's already said, Prahlada has already said, Matirna Krishna Padataksvatova Mityo Vipadyeta Grihavratanam, that as long as you have the materialistic inclination to enjoy, you cannot attain the inclination to Krishna. Just like darkness and light cannot exist at the same time. So to get free from this, one has to surrender and serve the lotus feet of a pure soul, a Niskinchana Vaishnava. Let's read Prabhupada's purport to this. And in that way, one can become free from material contamination. So therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami has said, Guru Padasraya Tasmat Krishna Adi Krishna Diksha Shiksharinam, something like that. That the first steps in devotional service are this taking shelter of a spiritual master and taking Diksha and Shiksha, and then Vishrambena, Guru Seva, and then serving with great intimacy. So these are the first things that are mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami in the process of sadhana bhakti, that it must be done. So purport by Prabhupada. Becoming Krishna conscious brings about anartha upagama. Where is that from, that phrase? No. Anartha upagamam sakshat bhakti yoga hotsaje lokasya ajanato vidvan chakre satvita samita. This is what after Vyas had his revelation and spoke the Bhagavatam, and it's in glorification of the Bhagavatam. If one hears, this is why Vyasadeva, this verse describes why Srila Vyasadeva wrote down the Bhagavatam, anartha upasamam sakshad bhakti yogat hoshajay lokasya, that people don't know in this world, people don't know that the anarthas, the miseries caused by unwanted things in their heart, people don't know that this is the cause of their misery, and it can be removed by bhakti yoga to adhokshajay, to the Lord who is beyond this world. Lokasya ajanato, people don't know that. That bhakti yoga will remove the miseries of material existence. And that doesn't mean that if I become a devotee, nothing bad on the material level will happen to me. My body will never become old. My hair will not get gray. And I'll never fight with my wife or anything like that. And this is not what bhakti yoga, this is not what he's talking about. It's on a much more deep level. That bhakti yoga removes the subtle body, as described in Kapila Muni's teachings, and places us directly in touch with Krishna. So to gain this shelter at the lotus feet, and to remove the materialistic tendencies, all the asatrishna, which are the anartha's desires for materialistic enjoyment in subtle and gross ways, the intermediary step, which isn't kicked away after, but the intermediary step is taking the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava and smearing upon one's whole body and mind, consciousness, everything dedicated to his service. So becoming Krishna conscious brings about anartha upagama, the disappearance of all anarthas, the miserable conditions we have unnecessarily accepted, therefore anartha. The material body is the basic principle of these unwanted miserable conditions. The entire Vedic civilization is meant to relieve one from these unwanted miseries. But persons bound by the laws of nature do not know the destination of life. As described in the previous verse, Ishat Tantram Urudam Nibhada, they are conditioned by the three strong modes of material nature. They are bound, just like if we take a rope, and if you notice, a rope is never one strand. It's to give it strength. There are strands woven together, intertwined together. So the rope that binds us in the material world is composed of three strands. They are known as sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun, filling us with satisfaction, desires, and sleep, and madness. One after another, these desires invade the consciousness of a conditioned soul. And in this way, he's bewildered. The education that keeps the conditioned soul bound life after life is called materialistic education. So that is what Prahlad was saying no to. I don't want this materialistic education because this dharma, artha, and kama is going to bind me within the material world. Or rather, dharma, artha, and kama. It's going to bind me, and people don't know Nate Vidu Swatagati Mi Vishnu, that Vishnu is the goal. I don't want, my goal is not of this world. That has to burn in the heart for a devotee. We have to have that's what it means to be a transcendentalist. And when that is burning very brightly, it will burn to ashes all these petty materialistic desires. It will burn everything into ashes, and everything appears petty. Even becoming a great controller like Lord Brahma appears petty if one's devotional desires are aflame. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that materialistic education expands the influence of Maya. I can't remember, some songs where he says this in Sharanagati. Maybe someone has them, they can look. Yeah. There's one phrase that he uses specific. Huh? That wasn't the phrase I was looking for. Some jara vidya or something like that. Jara vidya. The knowledge of that which is unconscious. Jad. Jad bharat. Jad means unconscious, dull. So the knowledge of dull matter, which is what materialistic knowledge is limited to, it binds the living entity so tightly within the realm of dull matter, never to escape. Such an education induces the conditioned soul to be increasingly attracted to materialistic life, and to stray further and further away from liberation, from unwanted miseries. Did you find it yet? It's in Saranagati, one of the fairly early songs. One may ask why highly educated persons do not take to Krishna consciousness. The reason is explained in this verse. So if someone's very intelligent, it would seem that they should take shelter of Krishna. An intelligent person should just see the very nature of the material world. That it's such a conflagration. It's such a forest fire. It burns everyone. He should see that his parents have died, his grandparents have died, his great-great-parents have died, and he should be able to deduce that his children will die and their children will die. So it is a horrible place. But why don't they take to Krishna consciousness? So the reason is explained in this verse. They're intelligent and educated. And the reason is, unless one takes shelter of a bona fide, fully Krishna conscious spiritual master, there is no chance of understanding Krishna. Krishna will seem very, very far away. And when Krishna seems very far away and the things of this material world seem so close and apparent and the senses are pushing, it's very hard, or one could say it's impossible, to find Krishna, to give up the material world until Krishna seems very real. More real than the material world. And that is one of the blessings of Vrindavan. That the spiritual world, it very easily, not you can't, I can't say easily, but it filters through here so much more than in a materialistic city. It filters through. It's inescapable that there is something so special about this place. There's a sweetness in the atmosphere.
Yes,
that's just not anywhere else. And it hits you so directly, especially if you're living here all the time. There's a tendency to forget it in the midst of the other austerities of living in Vrindavan. But when you go outside for a day or two, what to speak of a few weeks or a few months, and then you just start entering the atmosphere again, and you just go, yes, I remember now. Because Maya is so powerful. So Vrindavan is such a blessing in that way, that it allows us to experience that there is another world that is more real than this illusory temporary thing. And it's not only more real, but it's sweet and wonderful. And there is Govardhan Hill, and there are Krishna Balaram and Radhachandra Sundar, and there is this Kund, and there, and then this took place here. So one's acceptance of the spiritual reality, if one is in Vrindavan under proper guidance, becomes so much stronger. And material world, and it's a frustrating thing, and sometimes, you know, in Vrindavan, there's one set of rules apply, and everything is obvious about spiritual life, everything on a simple level. And then you go outside, and it doesn't, and you go to some materialistic city, and everything shifts, and it becomes confusing. It shifts. But it doesn't shift. It's just the mercy of Vrindavan is so powerful. So we want to keep ourselves always, one way or another, in the mercy, in that mercy. So the key is the same. Key is the same. But that's the blessing of Vrindavan. The educators, scholars, and big political leaders worshipped by millions of people cannot understand the goal of life and take to Krishna consciousness, for they have not accepted a bona fide spiritual master and the Vedas. Therefore, in the Mundaka Upanishad, it is said, Nayamatma pavachanena labhyo namedeya na bhuna sutena. One cannot become self-realized simply by having an academic education, by presenting lectures in an erudite way, pavachanena labhya, or by being an intelligent scientist who discovers many wonderful things. One cannot understand Krishna unless one is graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one, only one, who has surrendered to a pure devotee of Krishna and taken the dust of his lotus feet can understand Krishna. First, one must understand how to get out of the clutches of Maya. The only means is to become Krishna conscious. And to become Krishna conscious very easily, one must take shelter of a realized soul, or Mahatma, whose only interest is to engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 9:13, Mahatmanas tu mamparta daivam prakritam ashrita bhajant ananya manaso gyatva buddhitim avyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Therefore, to end the unwanted miseries of life, one must become a devotee. Yasyasta bhaktir bhagavad kinchana savas gunas tatra samaste sura. One who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna consistently manifests all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. From Bhagavatam 5.18.12. Yasya devi parabhaktir yata devi tatagaro tasyate katita yarta prakashante mahatmana. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all, only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Ya eva isha vrinute tena labhyas tasya isha atma vivrinute tanum sam. The Lord is obtained only by one whom he himself chooses. To such a person he manifests his own form. From Mandaka Upanishad. These are Vedic injunctions. One must take shelter of a self-realized spiritual master, not a materially educated scholar or politician. One must take shelter of a niskinchana, a person engaged in devotional service and free from material contamination. This is the way to return home back to God. So we'll stop here. There's a lot of very simple to understand. No controversies, no conflicts, but difficult to apply, and apply intelligently with wisdom, also difficult. Any questions? Thank you. Questions, comments? It means humble service, but I would say also complete humble service, where one fully considers oneself, when one thinks of one who one is, one thinks of oneself in the identities of the servant, smears one's body. It's even more extreme than taking the dust from his feet. In other words, there's nothing outside of that sense of identity as servant. So it's complete. So practically speaking, there is no false ego anymore, because one is identifying oneself as Gopi Bharata Parakamalayo Adasa Dasa Nadas. I'm a servant. This is who I am. Yes, not of Krishna. This is what Mahaprabhu said there in that verse. It's not of Krishna. It's of a servant of Krishna, in quoting the Adi Purana. You know, that one has to become a servant of us. A servant of Krishna. A servant of Krishna, not directly.
His face.
It's the direct approach. After all, you might not get a second chance. He probably loved it.
And then he smiled.
First time. No one's ever done that to me before. It's one of the glories of Western culture, that everyone is sort of, it's free from what it means, what anything means. That was just your comment. How wonderful. I wish I would have had the opportunity to do that. But it is the same in result. We were trained like that from Srila Prabhupada right in the very beginning, and Vani Seva is so much more important than Mapu Seva, because how many people could be around Prabhupada? Because his lotus feet, as he said, were always moving from place to place to place to place to place. And it was also very intense around his lotus feet. He demanded full cooperation, full surrender. But if one has an instruction, and the instruction from our spiritual master is going to be naturally in concordance with fulfilling Prabhupada's instructions, which naturally is in concordance with fulfilling Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instructions, which it's all in the same line, to fulfill the desire of Mahaprabhu. So if one can find some instruction and just surrender and serve that instruction, one's life will become perfect. It is perfect, and it will be perfectly perfected.
So your point is that it's easier in the personal association, but and my point is that that personal association may or may not be there. So if you become reliant on that, what will you do if it's not there? That has to become the center. So it's easier, but easier if we only do what's easier. What will happen to us? You know, it's just. You know, lava matra sarasanga is there too. Just from a moment, half of a moment of association is sufficient. But we have to grasp that half a moment and hold on fully to it.
Will you get any benefit
because
from that Ajamila get from naming his son Narayana?
He got the greatest benefit. He be killed by Lord Nrisimhadeva, and then Prahlad prayed for him after. But the reason was Ajamila wasn't an asura like him. He was against Vishnu, was his enemy. Ajamila was just trapped by his senses. He hated Vishnu. He was fully inimical to Krishna, to God. He wanted to kill him. So he got the only benefit. He got benefit in a different way, because Krishna. And that's the point of this. Whatever Krishna touches, whatever way he touches him, becomes benefited. That's actually the point of this story. There's kindness only emanating from Krishna.
Most dear thing.
It's the most wonderful decoration for your body. And also the literal of it is it's literally true too. But this literally, not just metaphorically, is wonderful. How to get it, because in Chaitanya Charitamrita it says Vaishnava Padaduli, Vaishnava Padajal, not Padajal, yeah, Padajal and the remnants of the food. These are the three most holy things. The dust from the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, the water that has washed his feet, and then and you could say a little more on it, that the thing from the lowest part of your body, the dust that you people wash off, the dust from their wipe, clean their feet before you go into a temple, you're supposed to make sure all the dirt from your feet or dust from your feet is removed. And from the lowest part of the body, the feet, and if you touch someone with your feet, it's considered in Vaishnava circles very offensive. If you, not only someone, but anything, practically speaking. You know, kick things out of the way in the West. You pick up things with your toes and hand it to people. That's not considered quite. It's not proper. Yes or not? En France? Not just an American habit? Yeah. But so the lowest part, the most contaminated part of a person's body, of the body of a devotee, is the greatest ornamentation of my body. People put on their bodies that which makes their body beautiful. They want to ornate, so it's glorious and wonderful. So this is that which makes the body glorious and wonderful. What's the great pain of material existence? Yes, that we're not in contact with Krishna consciously. We are in contact with him, but because we've turned our back on him, we cannot perceive our contact, and that in and of itself fills the soul with existential misery. At the depth of his existence is misery, because he's separated from his beloved Krishna. So we try to fill, we try to remove the experience of misery by one type of fruitive activity or another, or the desire to renounce material existence and become one with everything. Or fill ourselves up with some cause or another cause.